This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. We start today's show with some pretty tough and serious topics, just to give you a heads up. And so just want to put a warning out there as to anyone that could be triggered by those. We've also got a new goalkeeper talk to discuss and some big news in the title race as well. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gunner Talk, back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show. Join you every single morning at UK time, 8 a.m. UK time, that is. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, it is incredibly appreciated. I hope you had a fantastic week so far. I know that last night will have surely helped plenty of you. And so thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. As always, it is hugely appreciated. Do drop a like on the video. Subscribe to the channel if you're new around here with those notifications turned on, so you never miss a show. But you need not miss one, because you need to know that it is every single day at this time, all the time. So thank you for that. Good morning to those joining us live in the chat box. Matt G, NSW, Damien, George. We've got Black Shine. We've got Shari. We've got Stephen. We've got Morgie, Temmie, James, Matt G, Pat, Mike, Dave, Adagoke, NSW, Rob, Stevie, Peter. Good morning to you all. Thank you so much. It's very much appreciated. And I hope you've had a good week. And everybody else that's also tuning in, and for those listening on catch up on audio platforms as well, thank you. And do continue to join us every week. And if you could help us to reach 1K every single day of our like target, that would be, you know, massively appreciated. So thank you for that. We start, as I said, with the trigger warning, with the serious topics today. And that is that LBC reported yesterday that Declan Rice's partner has deleted her social media pictures because of online trolls bullying her over her appearance. Now, this is a story that we've covered on the channel before. You'll remember that I did a video dedicated entirely to this story, in which I think it was titled Something Needs to Change. And this is disgraceful, and I feel utterly ashamed that I share my club with what I've put in inverted quote marks as fans, because they're not. They're not fans in any way, shape or form. They don't represent us in any way, shape or form, and more needs to be done. And I continue to wave this flag and shout this from the rooftops that social media platforms themselves are without a doubt part of the problem, because they create the platform and don't do enough to tackle what are just some horrible people. So to the people that accuse me of being a virtue signaler, as someone who just wants to tread the moral line and say the right thing, you know, a firm middle finger to yourselves, because I couldn't give a flying you know what about what I look like, because I care about ultimately the feelings of those within the fan base, the feelings of our players, the feelings of their families, and how they're affected by such horrible people out there that would post such disgusting things on social media. Thankfully, I believe that the wider Arsenal family is incredibly supportive, and is incredibly complimentary and loving towards our Arsenal team and their friends and families. However, it's incredibly difficult to shut out the few, the minority, the disgusting individuals that continue to post such horrible things. If you see it, please report it. I encourage you to do so, and I hope that more can be done to try and tackle these issues. But if you see people making these horrible comments, be it on a Twitter forum, a YouTube comment, a YouTube video, report it. Abuse isn't okay. And everything should be done to try and tackle it and to try and tackle the individuals that would make light of this and encourage this type of behavior as well. So please do everything that you can to help fight this continually challenging cause. And certainly I'm hoping that everything is okay with Rice and their friends and family, and in particular, of course, Rice's partner as well. And also we move to Ben White as well, who, of course, has been at the centre of a lot of talk surrounding his situation with the England national team in particular. And yesterday, Ben White's agent, Alexander Levak, took to social media to post a response, breaking the silence on the Ben White side of things regarding this matter. So I'll read you the statement that was posted. This is from Alexander Levak, who says, "I feel compelled to write this today after such a great performance last night and all season for that matter from my client Ben White. For the past 4 weeks, Ben has been in the press and media a great deal, and in that time with a large percentage of that being negative. Whilst I appreciate that Ben is in the public eye, which brings its own connotations and leaves you open to criticism, I wanted to make the point that every elite performer, whichever field that may be in, is a human being who has the same feelings we all have and experience, good and bad. No one knows what is actually going on in one's life, so I really believe people should think before making a judgment or criticizing these elite performers in public. Ben has shown unbelievable robustness and strength throughout this adverse period off the pitch and has blocked out all the noise and has performed incredibly well on the pitch in a situation where many others could have and would have wilted. Ben has an incredible temperament and attitude which allows him the ability to navigate through his working and personal life. I suppose the main message is to be kind to people as you do not have the full facts, which in Ben's case, neither Ben nor I wish to vocalise publicly and do not know what is going on in people's lives. So again, please be kind." A really synonymous message and quite synergetic, actually, with that first story I read out. Those last words of the statement in particular of, you know, we do not know what is going on in people's personal lives. So again, please be kind. Just those last two words in particular ring true at the moment of be kind. Being kind costs absolutely nothing. And when I see comments that are left on this channel, you know, directed towards me, the typical, you know, bingo card tag of being a virtue signal, which is a phrase that has come into the lexicon of people in the last few years, it seems, as those that want to try and do the right thing, want to try and defend and highlight abuse and raise the idea of reporting wrongdoings, to be labelled as snitches in some people's warped minds. It seems that there is an incredibly diminishing number of people willing to stand up and take an action and highlight these things. So we will continue to do that, and we'll continue to try and do the right thing and discuss these things as well, as always. So again, just to echo what I said previously, please report anything abusive. This isn't to say that you can't be critical ever. Of course, it's not about that. Criticism is important, as long as it is constructive. And that is the context of what needs to be applied in any situation. There's been no need to criticise Ben White, though, recently. His performances have been absolutely stellar for Arsenal, and he's been by far one of the best players in the team this season. And we're very appreciative for his, you know, for his commitment to Arsenal and the performances that he's been putting in for the club. And I genuinely hope that one day he returns to the England national team. As an England fan myself, I think he'd be of great benefit to the England national side. But he should be allowed to do so and make that decision of his own volition. And I hope that that is the case. And if he doesn't feel like returning, absolutely fine by me. Not a problem whatsoever. It's an individual choice and should be respected whether the player makes it and whatever the player makes of it. So there you go. Two pretty heavy topics to start off today's show. We move now to some better and more positive news, and that is yesterday's Premier League action, which culminated in an unbelievable result for Arsenal, really. And I say unbelievable because it genuinely was such an unlikely result. The last time Everton won the derby at Goodison Park in the league, Mikel Arteta was actually pulling on the Everton shirt, which gives you some kind of context to this result and how unlikely it was. Everton winning 2-0 on the day. Braithwaite and Dominic Calvert-Lewin with the goals to really condemn Liverpool's title chances. Jurgen Klopp was asked before the game about the title race and said that he switched off the Arsenal-Chelsea match after just 5 minutes because he felt it was of no benefit to watch, and maybe that pressure that's been associated with Arsenal now really piling that pressure on to both Liverpool and, we hope, City. If there was one team that would buckle, if there was one team that didn't have the bottle in this title race out of City and Liverpool, it was always going to be Liverpool. City, of course, have done this time and time and time again, and they don't necessarily buckle or bottle anything, whereas Liverpool certainly have that trait inside them. And I think we witnessed that yesterday. I've been saying for quite some time that if you stop Liverpool from shooting, if you mitigate their chances, they will falter. They are vulnerable. They have one of the worst shot conversion rates of any of the big six teams. That they're mid-table in terms of all 20 teams. And so their finishing has just simply not been good enough for a team that wants to win the title this season. And it turns out, and it looks like, that the only trophy that Klopp will win in his final season, it seems at least, touch wood, is that Carabao Cup. Which was, you know, in the end, not even the most particularly fantastic trophy to win on the day either. So, it is what it is. But Arsenal very much benefiting from that result. The other Premier League results of the day, Wolves losing at home to Bournemouth. Of course, Arsenal will play Bournemouth next week. However, they will be without Kerkez, who was sent off and will miss the game against Arsenal. Crystal Palace performing very well. Mateta in fantastic form for Palace. They won 2-0 against Newcastle. And Manchester United, the jammiest club in the Premier League behind Tottenham, came away with a 4-2 win against Sheffield United despite going 2-1 down. They could have been losing by more, maybe, if Sheffield United had been a bit more clinical. But in the end, Bruno Fernandes with a fantastic long-range strike to give them a 3-2 lead before, in the end, Rasmus Højlund getting that fourth goal on the day, as Arsenal, of course, realise how they can score goals at Old Trafford, and they will have to try and avoid seeing them do that in a couple of weeks, of course, which we're very much looking forward to. Now, the kind of last real story of the day, not too much to go through before we go to part two in your questions, is a transfer line. And according to Tom Bogert of The Athletic, he has reported that Colorado Rapids 18-year-old goalkeeper Adam Boudry is set to actually move over to England for a temporary period of time to train with Arsenal. So Arsenal looking at another American goalkeeper, a different type, of course. Matt Turner was much older than Adam Boudry is. And I know nothing of the player. He is an American international, youth international, sorry. Is highly rated and is apparently drawing interest from a number of clubs here in Europe. So he must be doing a pretty darn good job. But of course, Arsenal's relationship with the Colorado Rapids, having been owned by the same owner, KSE, has made this perhaps a simpler task if Arsenal do intend to make a move for Adam Boudry, with Arsenal looking like they're going to need to move for a goalkeeper in the summer. With Karhine, I think we'll probably move on. Arthur Okonkwo is expected to move on as well. He won't see his contract renewed in the summer, to my understanding. Maybe this is the player they're looking to bring in to be his replacement. So I guess we'll wait and see. Okay, let's move to part two then, and your questions right after this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Right, let's jump into the chat box, shall we? I think we'll scroll up and probably return to that first topic that we sadly had to, I don't want to say sadly had to, it is sad because it's a heavy topic to discuss, and it's not a topic I want to talk about because I wish it wasn't something I had to talk about, but it's important to talk about it, and that is that story relating to Declan Rice and the abuse that his partner has been suffering on social media that sadly led her to take the decision to remove herself from social media platforms, of which I certainly don't blame her for making the decision to do that. You know, I'm not going to go around and highlight some of the comments that have been made or highlight some of the issues that have come out from this, but what we will do is continue to talk about the topic in a constructive way and highlight what you should certainly be doing, which is reporting anything that you see relating to that matter. And hopefully, and I say hopefully without too much optimism, sadly, because social media platforms for me these days don't do enough. Certainly, I think identification is something that needs to be thought about. It needs to be done in the right way because, of course, there are downsides to the idea of linking identification with accounts. But if you look at the number of bot accounts these days on social media, I can't put a tweet out without there being some kind of obscenity posted below anything I tweet these days. And so, yeah, it needs to change. And that's just a Dan Potts reply. No, I'm only joking. But in all seriousness, the bot kind of replies that you get these days on social media is deplorable, and something needs to be done about it. Dave says, an absolute disgrace. She's a fool, absolutely disgusting. Black Shine says, it's awful. Angela says, beyond disgraceful. And Joe says, how I love to meet these, in quotation marks, fans in real life. It's the thing is, like, they'd never say it in real life, and social media gives them this platform to be able to do it. Joe reckons it's a bunch of 10-year-olds not being checked by their parents. Sadly, it's not just children, Joe. There's some pretty horrible adults, sadly, in there. You know, well into their 30s and 40s and 50s around that are posting some pretty horrible stuff online as well. So it's not just the kids that are posting some pretty horrible things these days. But what I will say is that social media is certainly having a massive detrimental impact on just, I think, the mindset of young people. They're exposed to things so much earlier these days than when I was certainly at school. And even when I was, you know, teaching to a degree as well, just 4 or 5 years ago. So it's massively affecting things. Jonathan says, also, please remember, everyone in life must understand outside noise is just noise. You must know yourself and look deep inside yourself. Learn to know your qualities and never let anyone unsettle you. And whilst I think you raise a good message there, Jonathan, it's exceptionally difficult. You know, it's really hard to not take these things incredibly personally. You know, I'm very fortunate that we've got an amazing community, and 99% of the people that watch this channel are lovely people. But so often I fall into the trap of paying attention to the 1% that sadly aren't as brilliant as the rest of you all are, and that leave some pretty nasty things in my comments. And you end up focusing on those more than you do the very kind comments. And you shouldn't. You absolutely shouldn't. But it's very natural to do that. John Rock says, having empathy equals virtually signaling. Having atrocious or hateful takes is based. Apparently, yes, it's the society we sadly are living in at the moment. Jordan says, Tom is not virtue signaling. Genuinely, it's politicians and corporations that virtue signal and take advantage of people like Tom to make money or gain power. I'm a real goonist. His opinions and abuse are two different things. People abuse because they can't win an argument and accept they're wrong. And they're very sad people. This is the point. Opinions, but you're allowed to have an opinion. You're allowed to be critical in certain contexts without question. Criticism is part of what football is in particular. And we want to criticize. We want to be constructive. We want to say what we don't think good enough, what we think needs to improve. And we should be able to do that without question. But it's about how you go about that. That is obviously the main crux of the issue. If you're saying this player is this player is that, and these are pretty horrible words that are being used, It's not okay. If you want to say that Gabriel Martinelli runs with his head down a bit too much and needs to look up sooner and maybe play an earlier cross or work on his final touch, that's absolutely fine. You know, that's the type of criticism that is absolutely constructive and what we want to talk about. But if you want to just say this player's trash, I mean, the amount of times I had people leave messages around January saying Jakub Kivior is trash, it's these types of comments which aren't helpful anywhere. They're lazy, they're boring, and they don't hold any weight whatsoever. But if you want to be constructive, we absolutely welcome it here as well. Dennis says, exactly. Anyone can change their socials to troll opposition teams and players. Probably 12 and 16-year-olds. No legitimate Arsenal supporter is making comments like these. Dennis, I'm sad. I'm really sad to enlighten you, but there sadly are Arsenal fans, genuine Arsenal fans who believe they are Arsenal. I say genuine in a very loose term, but I mean it in the sense that the person that is writing that comment believes in themselves to be genuinely an Arsenal supporter. That are writing these things. Don't be ignorant to it, would be my message to you, mate. Don't be ignorant to think that Arsenal fans won't do it, and that people think that they are, that who are Arsenal fans, because trust me, I can give you a collection very quickly of social media accounts that have sent abusive things that certainly believe that they are Arsenal supporters. Tim says, how do we know it's Arsenal fans who abuse Declan Rice's other half and not rival supporters? Anyone can claim to be a fan of any team and upload whatever profile pic many troll accounts out there. Of course, Tim, and I think I've just touched upon that. We know that there's going to be a lot of rival fans that maybe are pretending to be Arsenal fans doing it. But if you think that there are no, if you think that everybody that's involved in this is in no way themselves thinking that they're Arsenal supporters, I think it's naive to do that, Tim. I think it's very naive to think that there aren't, sadly, Arsenal fans out there that believe themselves to be Arsenal fans that are doing that. It'd be very, very naive to think that. So please don't fall into that trap and start making excuses for people. Ewegbu says, why troll? And just some people are just sadly horrible people, Ewegbu. That's the reality that we live in. Some people are just not very nice. You know, there's millions of people around the world. You're going to have a spectrum of personalities, and sadly, that is what exists. There's also an element of education that has to be taken into this as well. Some people have not had the education to understand that these types of things are incredibly hurtful and wrong, and that it is the wrong thing to do. Be that the way they're brought up, be that just a lack of education in because of the situation they were born into. Of course, that needs to be taken into account as well. But that's why we need to absolutely put in the effort to try and highlight why it's wrong and why these things need to be dissuaded. And Philip, I'm really glad someone said this. And Philip clearly had his caps lock on the wrong way around. I know you weren't. He's already apologized for the capital letters. I know exactly what you've done because I've done it. I sent my editor a message the other day where I put all of my messaging caps with the first letter in lowercase because I'd got my caps lock on by mistake and you'd already pressed enter. And I was told to stop shouting at them in jest, of course. But Philip, I'm glad you've left this comment. I don't agree with you, but I'm glad that you've left it because I think it's a really important point that is worth bringing up. Philip says, talking about them is what they want. Just don't validate them. Now, this is certainly a view that I have subscribed to in the past. As you know, I'm very trigger happy with my block button, and I still am today. I still use my block button on any social media platform or on YouTube as well, sometimes too quickly. And sometimes I hold my hands up and say, yeah, fair enough, I blocked someone too fast. Certainly if they reach out and say, Tom, you blocked me and I didn't feel like I deserved it, I'll be like, yeah, no problem. I'll probably unblock you and we'll go for round two. But I used to think that just block and move on was the best strategy for it. And I think it's still a strategy, certainly. But the problem is that just ignores the problem. And because there is so many people on social media platforms, that's because there's so many accounts, so many people that use social media, there's not enough people to just ignore. And so because there is so many people that will respond, will react, will share it, will be inspired, sadly, by it and copy some of these comments because they think it's funny or because it gets them clicks or it gets them clout or gets them attention or extra followers because it makes them stand out because they've never been noticed in their lives before, you know, through their own fault or not. I find that I don't want to subscribe to this push under the carpet, don't pay any attention to it, don't validate them, don't give them attention, because I actually do want to give them attention. And the attention that I want to give them is scrutiny. The attention that I want to give them is one of criticism. The attention that I want to give them is to bring these stories more into the forefront so that hopefully more can be done in the future to tackle these problems. And so that's why ultimately I do continue to raise these as really key points in these stories. And this is the Arsenal News Show, and this is an Arsenal related story that we're discussing. Some people don't like me talking about this. If you don't, it's absolutely your choice to not. I just recommend you don't watch it. If you don't want to, that's absolutely your decision. But please don't tell me what I can and can't talk about, as some people do try to do, because that's never going to stop me from doing it. Stephen says, would people have a different attitude if Declan left the club in the summer? You know, it's how long is it going to be until eventually what that happens for somebody? That happens for a player. You know, Aaron Ramsdale, when he arrived at Arsenal, received unbelievable abuse for a player that hadn't even kicked a ball for this club. Fans of Arsenal, who genuinely were Arsenal supporters, because that's the motive behind them saying they didn't want him to sign for Arsenal. You're not going to get rival fans messaging Ramsdale saying don't sign for Arsenal in those moments, unless they rate him incredibly highly, of course, I guess. But genuinely, loads of Arsenal fans were sending pretty horrible messages to Aaron Ramsdale and sending him some pretty awful things, which he had to then turn off his social media. And now he doesn't even use social media and allows other people in his team to use his social media for him. And that's what's really important. Philip followed this up by saying, don't wear your heart on your sleeve and you won't get pierced. Again, I don't agree with this. I know it's this whole thing, like, especially from a masculine side of things, this idea that if blokes need to have hard skin, can't show emotion, don't wear your heart on your sleeve, don't show that you're bothered by it. I'm sorry, it's a mindset of a bygone era now. And in 2024, we live in a place where we actually should be talking about where we are. And that's why, you know, people in therapy is an all-time high. Why mental health has reached a stage where it's in the forefront of our minds, because it exists so prevalently. It's why the number one killer of young men is suicide. I just want to leave a trigger warning out there mentioning that. If there are, of course, people out there, if you are affected by any of these issues, that you can go and talk to them. I recommend you please do go and seek them out. But the number one killer of young men is sadly people taking their own lives. It is a problem that wearing your heart on your sleeve or saying that we just need to be tougher, you know, have thicker skin, sticks and stones and all that. No, it's not like that these days. And people are affected by it. And the evidence is there to suggest that they certainly are affected by it. So please don't ignore it. And please don't just bat it away. Please don't just bottle it up. Please talk to people if you need to get the help, because it's certainly worth it. Shall we, in the next 15 to 20 minutes of the show, steer the conversation more towards the title, more towards the football, and more towards the pitch now? I think we've tackled that issue quite significantly. And Gavin says, not the best topic after we've had the boost with the Liverpool game. Of course, I wish that we could have talked about the Liverpool game as a primary and that been the biggest story for today to discuss. But it wasn't. These stories with Ben White and with Declan Rice were the biggest stories of the day. And I wanted to give them the attention that they absolutely do deserve. So yes, anyone affected by the topics that we've talked about, please do go seek the help that you require. You certainly shouldn't be ashamed to go and do that. I've had therapy myself. It was one of the best things that I ever did during a very, very low point of my life. And I've certainly been considering even going back recently. So, because it's been a very difficult 12 to 18 months for myself, which I've been very open with you all about too. So please do not be scared to talk about your feelings. Please do go seek help if you need it. And if you do see abuse online, please go through all the relevant processes and report it to the relevant authorities if you can. So, the football. Yesterday's result in the Premier League title race was an excellent one for Arsenal. Liverpool losing against Everton. I always felt as though that, you know, of the two teams between that we were going up against, it would be Liverpool. I tweeted out, I think it was before the Villa game that we sadly lost. I tweeted out saying, you know, I think we will have to win every single game this season. We may not in the end, it turns out, but because of that Villa game that we lost. But I think I tweeted out before that. And I said it was because of City. City was the reason. And that, I think, is something that is always going to exist in this current situation, you know. That is going to be something that is always going to exist while Pep's there, whilst they are continuing to spend, and whilst they've now got the experience. City are the club that we need to be concerned about the most, because they are the most consistent of them all. But Liverpool's result, yes, they should certainly give Arsenal confidence, and we should certainly use that as a catalyst to take us forwards. Tom says, on a more light-hearted note, Forest is looking at banning Neville and Carragher for their weekend game. What? Being unhappy with their sycophantic views and blind support of the PGMOL. Good. I've not heard this story, Tom, actually. I knew that there was obviously some rumblings around Gary Neville in particular and Nottingham Forest, but I've not seen this story. So I'm just going to do a quick Google search. And I'm seeing some stories about legal action. I'm not seeing necessarily about banning them from any potential games. But of course, they are media. And to attend games, you have to get media accreditation through the club. So whenever I attend a game for football.london, if it's an Arsenal home game, I will apply for media through Arsenal. Arsenal have to grant that media accreditation. If I go to a different ground, if I say I'm going to West Ham to watch West Ham Arsenal, the accreditation will go through West Ham. So I don't know why it would be any different for Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher. I imagine they also have to apply for accreditation. So will Nottingham Forest just reject it? I don't know. It's certainly one I'm very interested by. Clive says, Tom, first half Havertz was getting a few big groans on Tuesday against Chelsea. I'm afraid this society will get worse. I'm pleased you're talking about this. Again, I'm not going to go too deep on what the first topic was, sticking with the football, but I think that that's a really interesting point about Havertz, Clive, because yes, his finishing obviously wasn't there in the first half. Some of his decision-making wasn't necessarily, you know, as crisp as it certainly was in the second half. But my goodness me, some of the runs that Havertz was making were brilliant. And everyone's kind of focused rightfully on Odegaard and his passing in the game against Chelsea, especially the pass that he reverses through Havertz on his right foot. I know this is at the early in the second half, and Petrovic makes a good save after he's been played through. But that run was absolutely stunning from Havertz. In the first half, of course, the runs in behind to take the ball. His movement is excellent, absolutely excellent. He's such a deceiving footballer. He moves around the pitch so unknowingly at times. And I think that there's real scope for a conversation about Kai Havertz moving forwards. Always when we have games like we did against Villa, we always say, oh, we need a striker. Or you think about the City game, you think, oh, we need a world-class striker. Those are the games where you need that striker. But there's such a conversation. I saw someone tweet yesterday saying, in 2 or 3 years' time, Havertz will be getting 20-plus goals for Arsenal. Potentially as close to 30 goals. Now, I don't know if that's true. But if Havertz is given the time, if Arsenal do continue to invest, if they do strengthen their squad, if we add more depth to the wide areas, if we add another top midfielder to join Rice and Odegaard, I'm intrigued. I'd be very intrigued to see what Havertz would do and how many goals he would score. We're so obsessed with new things, new toys, the shiny toy syndrome, as I call it so often, that we have to go and sign somebody to bring them in to be better. But very interesting to see whether or not, if Havertz is given the faith by Arteta to be Arsenal's forwards, if that then ends up being something which succeeds and surprises even more so than it has done already. Going to Jason says, Tom, what do you think Liverpool's rest of the decade looks like from here, taking into consideration complaints, FFG's lack of sufficient financial backing? Of course, Jurgen Klopp leaving the end of the season. It's going to be a big challenge for Liverpool. Next season's a huge one. I expect it to be a transitional year. They will probably drop off. They're going to have to replace Van Dijk and Salah in the next coming years as well. Two huge losses from that team. Alisson also not getting any younger. So that's absolutely something to focus on. And Liverpool's trajectory in these next few years is something that Arsenal need to look to try and take advantage of. Chun Ho says, Trent Alexander-Arnold's comments on Arsenal being affected by Liverpool's loss to Palace seems to have backfired. This time we played first and they are the ones that seem pressurised and affected by our win over Chelsea. I think you're absolutely right, mate. Absolutely. You Gang says, Tom, do you think we can win the rest of our four games? Absolutely, I do think we can win the rest of our games this season. Damien says, Tom, is there a concern that if Brighton get something tonight that come Sunday, we might let the pressure get to us against Spurs? There's always that. There's always that that's going to exist. There's always going to be that fear, you know, that if City do drop points, the pressure is then on Arsenal. You know, it's in their hands, if indeed, or our hands, you know, if indeed we do manage to see Man City drop points. But hopefully we can take that. You can't win a league without pressure. And, you know, diamonds are made with it. So let's hope that we can turn into a bit of a diamond by the end of the campaign. James says, thank you. Thank you so much, by the way, for the very kind donation as well. Currently on 77 points, closing on the last year's total of 84. This time last season, City were 1 point ahead with a game in hand. Hope we can enjoy the run-in and recognise the progress we've made. Yeah, absolutely right. I think at the same point last season, we'd played Chelsea, just beaten them 3-1 in that game at the Emirates. City were two games behind us, but they were only 2 points behind us rather than 4 points behind us. So I think we are actually 2 points better off in relation to City than we were at the same stage last season. We've had no mic problems for so long, and today they return. I'm hoping that the audio is okay now. Please do let me know very quickly if it is. If not, we'll probably have to end the show prematurely. But I've survived so long without these audio issues. It's good now. Okay, thank you for letting me know. But that's really frustrating because we've had no audio issues on the channel for ages. That was really frustrating. Maybe I was touching some cable without realizing it. But sorry about that. Hopefully it sorts itself out and we won't have to have that problem again. Where was I? I was somewhere. Well, my goodness me, I really didn't. How many minutes was I going dodgy for? At least two, apparently. I'll make sure to cut that out on the audio side of things. Where was I? Tizer's question. We'll start from Tizer and I'll cut that question out. Tizer's question was, I have more belief in this current run due to the strength of our bench now. Partey being back, that bench will be even stronger next year, I believe, which makes me feel this is our time. And, you know, we've absolutely got to hope that this is our time. We've got to hope that this is, you know, the chance to win a really important title because Klopp's going to be leaving. Pep Guardiola could leave after next season. And we're in a situation where, you know, we're in a situation where Arsenal could potentially win the greatest title since the Invincibles. I don't think it's as good as the Invincible season. And I think it is just above the 89 season because, of course, that being second to the Invincibles as up against a very successful and a serial title-winning side in Liverpool at that point. And, of course, the way in which we won it was so magical as well. But this title is harder to win. This league is tougher, in my opinion. We're up against a better Man City side than that Liverpool team were back in 89. And of course, in 2004, when we went unbeaten, that in itself is unique. So it stands out on its own. But I do think that this would be the greatest achievement besides the Invincibles in Arsenal's history if we were to win the league this season. That's how big of a challenge it is. And that's why I think it's so mad that some people turn around and say that if we don't win the league this year, Arteta deserves to go. But, you know, questionable mindsets and all that. Akmal says, do we even have anybody unavailable? It is only Timber who is coming back and we are fully fit as well. I mean, Timber is gradually making his way back. I really hope that we do get to see him very soon before the end of the season. I think he's been hugely missed. Losing him and Partey for this season and being where we are, I think is a massive testament to how good we've actually been. Because we've not had Timber for the whole season. We've not had Thomas Partey for the majority of it as well. That's two massive players, two potentially top players that we've been without. And I don't think it's necessarily even been talked about as much as it should have done because we've been still so good. We've been still so competitive. But we lost those two for such a huge portion of the season and yet we've still managed to be massively competitive. So it's a testament to how good we've been. I don't think it's necessarily been talked about because we've not needed to talk about it because we're still very much in the race. At the end of the season, have we not won the title? It will be certainly something that we'll look back and reflect upon and think, yeah, wow, if we'd have had Partey for the whole season, if we'd have had Timber for the whole season, I wonder what would have been different. Philip says, if Klopp wasn't leaving anyway, would people say sack him for not winning the league? I don't know. I don't know if they would or not, but certainly there is scope, isn't there? There is uncertainty and there's some frustration about it. I mean, I saw that video yesterday of a Liverpool fan basically saying that they were getting annoyed at him smirking when Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored. It was definitely an ironic smile. I wouldn't buy too much into that or read too much into that. But yeah, goodness gracious me. That was somebody getting very, very angry over their team. And I understand that you don't want to see your manager smiling, but I know it's Klopp's personality. If you don't know who he is by now, Liverpool fans, and what he's like, and you know, he does tend to smile when they concede because he's just like, you know, he's laughing at the irony of it. If you don't agree with that, that's fine. You're entitled to that opinion, but I don't really have an issue with it because it's his personality. Arteta wouldn't do that. That's not in Arteta's personality. It's definitely in Klopp's. That is just the way that Klopp is. Caleb says, wanting Arteta out would be considering these past two seasons as not successful. Arteta is already a top manager and will get trophies. I have no doubt about that. Nick says, I worry that if Man City drop points too soon, we might buckle under the pressure of the expectations and go on and win. In an ideal world, City drop points at the end. We're best as chasers. To be honest, Nick, as long as they drop points, I don't really care. if they drop points and Arsenal don't win the league, it's going to be very, very hard. Very, very hard to not look at the season as a really big disappointment in the end. If City drop points and we've only got four games left and it's in your hand with four games to go against four teams that we should be beating, it will be very disappointing. I hope they lose points tonight. I know that we're all seagulls at heart this evening. I'm not expecting much. Brighton have been in pretty awful awful form. Man City, of course, have just got to a cup final once again after beating Chelsea. So they've got plenty of momentum going into this game. Let's just hope that they drop points somewhere. They've got three tricky away games. Spurs, of course, is one of them. The irony is just glorious. And then there is Nottingham Forest, which they dropped points at last season. So let's keep those fingers crossed that the Seagulls can do us a massive favour tonight. You never know. Maybe the pressure will end up getting to City. But even if they win, we're still top. Don't forget that, because they're 4 points behind with two games in hand. And we'll go into that game against Tottenham with a chance, of course, to go back to the top of the table if indeed we're not by that point. I look forward to this weekend's games. I look forward to tonight's game. And I'm hoping that we can have a repeat of Wednesday night's brilliant Everton performance from Brighton this time. Thank you for listening. Do drop a like on the video and subscribe. Apologies for the slight audio issues partway through. At least they weren't during a very serious moment. And hopefully it will probably happen again, but hopefully for not quite some time in the future. So thank you for that. Have a fantastic day. Stay safe. Stay well. Stay happy. Stay respectful. Never have those words perhaps on this show been more relevant than they were after our talking points. But stay positive and let's hope and be the biggest optimists in the world that we can return with some really, really good results and performances tonight. Have a fantastic day. Speak to you soon and drop a like and all that YouTubey stuff as always. And as always, up the Arsenal. It's the 90 plus minute. All your mates around and you've got a McNuggets share box ready to go and you know a late winner's coming. Your mates already got booked for a double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfection. Order now on the McDonald's app for your McDelivery. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.